7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and the draft is now over. And Tim, I'm just sorry.
I feel deflated on so many levels. On so many levels, I just feel so... I'm hurt. I'm sad. All the wind is out of my sails. I'm angry. I'm very, very angry. We have a lot to talk about, gentlemen.
Yeah, pretty much it all started off after pick number one. Of course, there were the reports going that the Browns could go with Myles Garrett or they could go with Mitchell Trubisky at number one. All smoke screen.
Why couldn't they have just picked Trubisky?
And it could have been over. But yeah, a lot of draft. It was an exciting draft.
It was awesome.
Because every draft we talk about it, and we talked about it last week, every draft comes, we make a mock draft, and it doesn't matter. You can make it the most ridiculous thing because you know what? It may just happen. And the Bears pretty much kind of did their thing.
You know, so... Thursday during the day, during work, I was driving around all day. I had to drive something about 300 miles, and the whole day, we were all texting, oh, did you see this report out of here? Did you see that report out of there? I was so fired up. Listened to sports radio all day. Oh, what are they going to do? Are they going to do this? The Bears potentially, you know, they're going to draft this position at 2, and then they're going to trade back into the first, and they're going to get their quarterback of the future then. You know, this, that. There was so much that was possibly going to happen, and all I said the whole entire day, the night when we got here, was anybody but Mitchell Trubisky. Anybody will be an instant impact player on this team, an instant refreshment to what is going on, and this team is going to be built for the future. Finally, we'll have something to look forward to. And then we get the Bears trade. And my heart sinks down to my chest. It was awful. I was scared. Okay, maybe they just like Solomon Thomas that much. Maybe they, you know, they just like him that much. And then we saw what they gave up. And you guys were all laughing. And I told you, Josh, you had me on video. And I was saying a lot of bad things. And someone was saying on Twitter to tickle me. Yeah. And that made things worse. That was awkward. And I thought, no, no, God, if there is one, there's no way that the Bears went up one spot and traded half of their draft class for a quarterback that's never accomplished anything. No, sir, Ryan Pace would not do that for us. And when it happened, it ruined my whole draft for about an hour. It ruined everything. I am still disgusted. It's grown on me a little bit more. This pick in particular, it's not as bad as I still don't like what they gave up. I still don't know like how it was handled. But this pick in particular is not the biggest problem with the Bears' whole draft. What they did then after that has taken over my anger, and we'll get to that later.
Do you have anything to say about that, Tom?
I don't get why all the Bears fans are so upset. They're saying Mitchell Trubisky hasn't done anything. He's 8-5 in college, guys. He had a great college career. And if next year, if he started 13 games and went 8-5, you guys would be ecstatic.
Well, my favorite line that I saw, I think it was draft night, was, yeah, why is everyone hating on Mitchell Trubisky? He's super well rested from only playing 13 games in college. That was my favorite line of the night.
Wow, that one is good. I like that. Well, with
you don't remember that because Josh got hammered on draft night. He got super hammered.
Yeah, that's what happens when you don't drink for a whole month. So, let's get into it. Let's start off with pick number one. Let's go all the way down to 32.
Can we start by just giving the Browns a slow clap here for making the right call, not overthinking it? They went with Myles Garrett. Bravo, Cleveland. You actually did not pull a Cleveland and you transferred. You did your voodoo and now the Bears are you. Congratulations.
Yeah, I thought the Browns had a very good draft. They didn't, just like you said, they didn't reach for a quarterback that they knew could not start from day one. They didn't overpay. They got DeShone Kizer later in the second round, and they didn't overpay for him. And you got to remember, DeShone Kizer at the beginning of draft talk, he was considered possibly the number one quarterback. So for the Browns being able to get him later on, I'm definitely okay with what they did.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got a brain like Tom Brady and physicality like Cam Newton, baby. So Browns got their next big thing in the second round.
Let's start off pick number one. We have Myles Garrett going instead of Mitchell Trubisky.
All right, and let's do it this way, guys. We'll do thumbs up, thumbs down, or deal?
Yeah, that's fine.
Myles Garrett, thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs up. It's a smart pick.
Total home run right there. Got the best player in the draft. It's going to help that defense out and should be making a bunch of quarterbacks miserable for the next 10 years or so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like we just said, I'm just happy they didn't overthink and go with the quarterback. So, coach got his player, and the owner was probably a little bit upset.
It would have been great television if they took Mitchell Trubisky at one, though. The whole draft would have panicked.
Almost as good a television it was when the Bears took him at two.
Someone would have tried to move up and give up three first-round picks in the future to the Niners. It probably would have been absolutely nuts.
But. Yeah. Next up, we have pick number two, and that is the Chicago Bears from a trade with the 49ers. And the Bears picked one Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback out of North Carolina.
So what I will say now about this pick, just about this pick, not what they gave up for it. I do like the fact that for the very first time as being a Bears fan, whether I agree with what he's going to be in the future or not, the Bears have a plan for how they're going to develop a quarterback. They have a starting quarterback. They have a veteran quarterback as a backup. And they have someone that they believe potentially will be the franchise quarterback to bring along. That is the very first time I have seen that ever as a Bears fan. So in that sense of it, I'm happy. I'm happy that they have some sort of plan at quarterback. What they gave up. Pick-wise, what they gave up talent-wise outside of that is what totally ruins this for me. You know, everyone says no one else was going to jump in front, and no one was going to jump in front of the 49ers. The 49ers were not going to take him. It's very, very frustrating to see, you know, your team get the guy they say they want, but give up entirely too much to get there.
Yeah, and what do you got to feel if you're Mike Glennon? You got to feel like crap.
Like he said, he felt like he got cheated on.
Well, for those who don't know, it's in the paper here in Chicago, but he was brought to the Chicago Bears Miller Lite party at Soldier Field. Yeah. You don't think that maybe GM or someone should be clearing that, you know, oh, hey, our starting quarterback we just paid $30+ million to, maybe not have him. Bring in Kyle Long. Bring in Kevin White. Bring in anyone else to sign a couple autographs. Not your new guy who you're going to bring in as replacement on day one. Yikes.
Next up, we have pick number three, and that is the San Francisco 49ers. Again, trade from the Bears. They pick one Solomon Thomas.
It's a good fit for him. He's going to be able to play inside, outside on that defensive line. They're switching over to the 4-3. That's 3 years in a row investing a high-round draft pick into that D-line. So you have to expect that unit to be pretty good in the future. And John Lynch is building that defense up. He's had success in the past with the Buccaneers, Broncos, both elite units. He understands what makes a good defense, and he's doing it the right way in San Francisco. And he made Ryan Pace look like an idiot on draft night, and a lot of people were saying he's the GM of the year already.
Yeah, bravo to John Lynch. I think I told you guys, I texted you when I was left your house, Josh. So I was driving home, sad, disappointed, you know, trying not to cry, and the guys on talk radio were saying that John Lynch de-pantsed Ryan Pace in front of the whole crew and said, looky here, look what he's got. And it wasn't impressive, and everyone pointed and laughed. Not a good analogy for Bears fans or Ryan Pace. Listen, John Lynch dropped back, got a ton more picks, and still got the guy he wanted. I told you guys a story a little bit ago that I heard about how when John Lynch went back to college to get his degree, he went in his very first class, he had to team up with someone, they had to do partners or whatever for a project, and the person that he was teamed up with for the project was one Solomon Thomas at Stanford. Super crazy. Now, a couple years down the road, John Lynch drafts him. So, very cool. I'm excited. So after this, I'm excited for the 49ers. What they're building, the mindset they have, very defense-oriented, not inclined to rush what's going on the offensive side of the football. I'm very excited in San Francisco.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Solomon Thomas was one of the better defensive linemen in the draft. He can play end on the outside, and then in passing downs, he's going to move to the inside and play that Michael Bennett role. So, smart move on Lynch's part, getting extra picks, even making that trade in the first place is a very ballsy move because you did not know what Chicago was going to do. So, very gutsy move thinking that Chicago was not going to take the guy that they wanted.
Should we speculate here a little bit? If the Bears would have taken Solomon Thomas, who do the 49ers take at three? I mean, we're not going to do this all the way down the draft, yeah, obviously, but this is the most obvious one.
I think they probably go Jamal Adams there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Obviously, they're looking at the defensive side of the football, but they weren't all in like that much in love with Solomon Thomas because there was a legit chance that the Bears could have taken him.
Yeah.
That's who they thought he was going to take. So, obviously, Solomon Thomas, he might have been the second overall player on their board, but they're playing it smart. They're just going to draft the best available player, and the top of this class was absolutely stacked.
I just didn't know if, you know, you guys thought, obviously, a guy they got later down the road here, but, you know, John Lynch was saying he was ready to take Reuben Foster as high as three. He was so high on him. Thomas and Foster were 1 and 3 on his board. You know, who knows what would have happened there?
Yeah.
C'est la vie.
Next pick, we got pick number 4. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they take running back Leonard Fournette, the man with a rap song named after him.
It was something we started to predict early on in the whole draft process, and we kind of went away from it. I think we were all aboard that train that the Panthers were going to trade up and somehow end up with them. But I like the move overall. They need to establish the run game in Jacksonville. Blake Bortles, you cannot rely on him to throw the football 40-plus times a game. And they're just adding a new dimension to that team. They're going to be able to – they have a good defense. They're going to be able to run the football, play good defense, and hopefully try to model themselves after what the Cowboys did last year.
Yeah, you know, it's good. They're going to have some relief now for third-year rookie Blake Bortles to have him potentially finally take that step that he needs to take, you know, have a running game that can take a lot of that pressure off. Now, it takes the pressure off Bortles. It takes the pressure off of AR-15. It takes the pressure off of that defense that's already a fantastic defense. It brings a lot, and it could very well in the AFC, what are the Colts? AFC South. It brings a very interesting dynamic of what to expect now in the AFC South. It's always been kind of wide open, the Colts division to lose over the last 2 to 3 years. The Texans making improvements. You know, they still don't have a quarterback, but the Jaguars could be one of those teams. People have been predicting it now the last 2 or 3 years, could finally make that big jump and be a playoff contender.
Yeah, I think the guy is a difference maker. That's pretty much the way I sum it up as. But my only thing is he going to be that guy on third down? I love Leonard Fournette. We've talked about him all the time. But you have TJ Yeldon that can catch the ball in the backfield. Is Leonard Fournette going to be that big of a difference maker on first and second down and partially on third down? I think, personally, he was never really asked to catch the ball at LSU. I think he can do it on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Plus, they have to have some sort of, I don't want to say understanding, but some belief that he's going to be that big of a difference maker because they just picked up that fifth-year option on Blake Bortles as well.
Yeah, I think he will be a third all-purpose back. Third down, everything, I think, especially depending on what happens to D.D. Westbrook. Obviously, he has a ton of legal issues. It'll be huge for Jacksonville for him to be able to play because he's going to help open up that field. But especially getting Fournette and then getting Cam Robinson early in the second round kind of solidifies what they're looking to do here to take the pressure off Blake Bortles.
I don't think Jacksonville would select a running back at 4 overall if they didn't think he was a back who was 3 down capable, a guy you could have on the field every offensive snap of the game if you really need to. So they obviously saw something at his pro day. He looked good catching the ball at his pro day, so I'm not too worried about him having to come off the field for third down.
They're looking for the Ezekiel Elliott factor. They're looking for, you know, Blake Bortles is, in their eyes, on the same level as Dak Prescott. And can Leonard Fournette help take the pressure off enough to bring Blake Bortles up to that next level?
Next up, pick number 5, Tennessee Titans. And they go with Corey Davis, wide receiver.
I was absolutely shocked. I really thought they were going cornerback here. Marshawn Lattimore fell to them. I thought he had a chance to go anywhere from the 2 spot, 3, maybe even 4. They got their guy, and this kind of started off a wide receiver frenzy. The Titans thought it was more important to get their playmaking wide receiver to give their quarterback a weapon on the offensive side of the football. He was our number one wide receiver, so I don't really I don't fault the Titans for going after him right here, getting him at pick five. The only thing that would worry me, he hasn't been running. That foot or ankle, whatever it is still bothering him, and that scares me.
If not for the Chicago Bears, everyone would be talking about the Tennessee Titans and how they botched this draft. Both picks are very questionable picks. Both picks are guys much, much earlier than they were projected to be in a lot of mock drafts. We all love Corey Davis. You guys both had him at number one. I had him at number two, but had him going number one in my mock draft. So we all had them going, you know, in the first round. But the Tennessee Titans had a chance here to bring difference makers onto that defense. Had the opportunity to bring to again change the mentality of their team with their two picks. Two picks within the first 18. And in my eyes, they did not do that at all. They tried to, you know, I don't fault them for trying to bring in more weapons for Marcus Mariota. But what if Mariota comes back from that, you know, leg injury? You know, we haven't talked a ton about that. Comes back from his leg injury and isn't the same. Their defense, you know, is mediocre at best. And I think they're gonna look back at this draft and someone's gonna get fired because of it.
Yeah, my thing is, I thought they were going to go defense, and it would have been a smart move. But getting Corey Davis here, like I said, he's the best wide receiver in the draft class. But with that ankle, we don't know if it's going to turn out to be a Treadwell situation or a Josh Doctson situation, where we don't see them very much in the first year. And I think that's going to be a shame. But hopefully, he does go out there and he balls out and takes over that offense.
Is he Kevin White or is he AJ Green?
That's... Yeah.
It's just scary. You look the last 3 to 4 years, every receiver that's hurt that comes in the draft, it seems like they missed the whole year. Look, Kevin White was that 3 years ago.
Yep.
Last year we had Treadwell, Doctson. It's just, like, absurd. And you're spending a very high pick in a defensive-loaded draft on a hurt wide receiver. It's scary. But yeah. I'm happy they did that, being a Colts fan.
Yeah, where you could have gone wide receiver at 18, where I don't think you're going to lose a lot of value. I mean, obviously... Mike Williams probably wouldn't have been there, and neither would Corey Davis, but still, there would have been, I mean, if you're talking John Ross or Zay Jones at 18, I would have preferred that and having a defensive star at 5. That's just me.
Next up, pick number 6, we have the New York Jets, and they go with Jamal Adams. He falls right into their lap.
Go ahead.
Very smart pick for the Jets. Took the best guy on the board for him. Got that new leader. We've been saying it all year. He's that new Brian Dawkins-type player. He's got that Sean Taylor-type attitude out on the field, loves to hit, big time thumper. He's going to be their strong safety, play in the box, cover the tight ends. Kid could do it all. One of the cleanest prospects in this draft class, and Jets fans should be happy.
I am upset that Jamal Adams is here. Number one, the Jets must have been crying. They could not have turned their card in fast enough. You talk about clean prospect. He's probably the only clean prospect in this whole first round. He's solidified the best at his position. He has no off-the-field issues. He has no injuries, and he's tested very well everywhere, and everyone has him as a future captain of a defense. It's amazing that he lasted till 6. I feel like teams like the Chicago Bears, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Tennessee Titans are going to regret this for an extremely long time. Number 2 on my big board overall, Jamal Adams. Good for the Jets. This is the type of guy they need.
They needed this.
Yeah, they did. They needed a leader on that defense.
Well, especially because they don't have anyone else.
Well, they're trying to give away everybody else, too.
There were a couple awesome stories about Jamal Adams. Did you guys hear the bet he had with his dad?
No.
He made it when he was 10 years old. He bet his dad $50,000 that he would be drafted before him in the first round because his dad was taking 19th overall. So his dad owes him a little bit of money. And then he said, as soon as he heard it was the Jets, the first thing that came through his mind was Rob Gronkowski, because he was going to have to cover him and play against him for the next few years.
Interesting. Next pick number 7, we have the L.A. Chargers. I hate that.
Yeah, I don't like it.
But Mike Williams, wide receiver. Another pick where I was shocked that a wide receiver went, because I just thought Malik Hooker was the guy all along. I said it over and over.
We all did.
And I'm freaking mind blown again, but they go wide receiver here. He's a big, powerful wide receiver. He goes up and catches the ball. Not the fastest guy, but gives them another playmaker to go alongside of Keenan Allen and Travis Benjamin, and who's the other kid? I always forget the other kid's name.
They have Inman, Tyrell Williams.
Tyrell Williams, that's the other one I'm thinking of. But yeah, another added weapon. Got to give Rivers more and more weapons. Maybe this guy can be, I don't want to say the answer, but another piece to the puzzle.
What this just reminds me of is Vincent Jackson on the LA Chargers, San Diego Chargers, whatever. And just that big-bodied receiver, Phillip Rivers, can just throw the ball up, and 9 times out of 10, this dude's going to catch it. I really like the fit. I was really shocked, though, that they went here with the pick. Like you said, Malik Hooker just screamed to me, or even Jonathan Allen. I think both of those moves could have helped that defense out a lot. But obviously, they have a lot of faith and trust in Phillip Rivers and that he could play 3 to 4 more years.
They went with, I feel like they're in win right now.
Yep.
That's exactly what, you know, almost a panic. But listen, what they did, I did not like the pick of Williams either. But by getting Forrest Lamp and Dan Feeney in the second and third round, solidify that line in front of him. He has a ton of weapons. They have Melvin Gordon. They have a running game. They have a, what's the tight end that they have?
Hunter Henry.
Thank you. Hunter Henry seems to be a good young up-and-coming tight end. Is, what's his name, still playing?
Gates, yeah.
Antonio Gates is 100 years old, but he's still playing. You have all the wide receivers now. This is the last big push in my eyes to make a run for a Super Bowl with Phillip Rivers, who has 37 kids.
Next up, pick number 8, we have the Carolina Panthers selecting running back Christian McCaffrey.
It took me a while to really like this pick. At first, leading up to the draft, I hated the idea. Everyone was mocking McCaffrey to the Panthers. I was still on board with Leonard Fournette going there. But the Panthers were obviously that team that guaranteed him that they would take him inside the top 10. It makes perfect sense after thinking about it. But he's going to be... It's just kind of like imagining Shady McCoy lined up with Cam Newton in that backfield. That'd be extremely scary. That's the same type of things Christian McCaffrey can do. And go line up in the slot as well if they want to put Jay Stu in the backfield. And he's an all-around running back, and I absolutely love this pick, and I think it adds a new dimension to the Carolina Panthers.
Have you seen this kid? Have you seen a picture of him?
Yeah.
I think he's still got braces on. He's not going to fit in with the Carolina Panthers. Who does he fit in with? You better hope that Greg Olsen likes him, that Greg Olsen's going to bring him in to the mentality. Listen, you have Cam Newton, who likes to move around, run around. They don't use running backs like Christian McCaffrey. They don't use them for that. They need someone who can grind. They need someone who can run the ball inside between the tackles. I love Christian McCaffrey. He had a hell of a career at Stanford, and he's going to be able to catch some balls out of the backfield for the Carolina. But ask people outside of Jonathan Stewart who have run the ball in Carolina how they've been perceived. Ask Cameron Artis Payne how his life has been in Carolina the last few years. It's garbage because they don't have any respect for running backs there outside of Jonathan Stewart because he's paid his dues. Good luck to Christian McCaffrey. I hope it works out. I do not like the fit.
Me personally, I think it's funny because I was thinking about it over and over and over again. Fantasy purposes.
Yep.
I love his fit here just for the fact that how many years have we seen Jonathan Stewart be the guy and not do much? Year after year after year, correct? Yes. You don't need to answer. I know.
I will answer because it's only been 2 years without D'Angelo Williams.
But still, regardless, now you're going to put a difference maker, in my opinion, a playmaking running back that can move better than Jonathan Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
And give Cam Newton a different version of a running back in the backfield. Yeah, they drafted Curtis Samuel, but Curtis Samuel is a wide receiver, drafted as a wide receiver, not a running back. Everybody keeps thinking that Samuel is going to take carries away from Christian McCaffrey. No, he's going to line up in the slot. You may see a couple where they're both in the backfield together, yep, with Jonathan Stewart as well, but he is going to be a slot wide receiver. Curtis Samuel is a pretty good route runner and catcher in his own right. But McCaffrey just adds that extra dimension. Plus, they can still use Jonathan Stewart as well. You can use both of those guys. Line them both up in the backfield and let Christian McCaffrey run a running back arrow route. There's no linebacker that's going to stick with him. Let him run an arrow route, and then you can do an audible, in a sense, and hand the ball off in a delayed drive.
I disagree that there's no linebacker who's going to stick with Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is good, but Christian McCaffrey is not that much of a playmaking difference maker that linebackers in the National Football League can't stick with him. I feel like that is a huge over-exaggeration.
Christian McCaffrey is going to cause nightmares for opposing defenses, their linebackers, everyone on their on the opponent's defensive side of the football. He's a big play waiting to happen. That's something the Carolina Panthers have lacked the last few years, and they want to get in the same category as the Atlanta Falcons, have that explosive offense, and that's what they did here, and I applaud them. I love the pick.
This isn't the Pac-10. This isn't California anymore, young man. You better buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Next up, pick number 9, the Cincinnati Bengals, and they go wide receiver John Ross.
This pick just absolutely blew my freaking mind. Like, it, before the whole the pre-draft process, I said I wouldn't be shocked if John Ross was the first running or first wide receiver taken off the board just because it's 4.22 speed, fastest ever at the NFL Combine. But the Bengals taking him here, number 9, absolutely shocked me. I really thought wide receivers were all going to slide down the draft board, go anywhere from pick 10 to 25, somewhere in that range. Not three of them going in the top 10. It's absolutely insane. It's a good fit, though. He's going to be, he can line him up in the slot, line him up outside. You got A.J. Green there as well, Tyler Eifert, and it helps Andy Dalton out a lot.
Yeah, I was shocked as well. Obviously, we all were. I wish we would have recorded more of our faces.
Yeah.
Through the top 10. Just through the top 10, because we were so shocked with everything that happened in the top 10. John Ross, though, the more and more I think about it, I love the fit in Cincinnati. I love exactly what he brings for them. He's going to be able to stretch the field. He's going to draw enough attention to help get A.J. Green open. So I like it.
Do you think if the Carolina Panthers did not select Christian McCaffrey, the Bengals would have selected Christian McCaffrey?
No.
At that spot?
I don't think so. Nope. I think they had their eyes set on one running back.
Okay.
And we can discuss that later.
Yeah, and I feel like the style of running back did not fit what they were looking for.
Next pick, pick number 10, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs via trade with the Buffalo Bills. And did you guys hear the story? If not, I'm going to tell you real quick. Because pro golfer Ryan Palmer, yes, a pro golfer, was in the war room telling people what the Saints were going to do. And they were going to draft one Patrick Mahomes, and that is why the Chiefs ended up moving up in front of the Saints to draft one Patrick Mahomes
quarterback. He was in the Chiefs war room?
He was in the Saints.
Telling people text messages what the Saints were going to do.
He spilled the beans.
What?
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Oh, yeah.
That was the report.
That's nonsense. There's no way.
If it's true, that's freaking awesome. But this was another pick where I was just like, holy crap. Like, the Chiefs traded up.
If it's not true, I apologize, but that's everything that I've read. So.
I hope that it was the Saints. I hope it was just Sean Payton. He's like, this is pro golfer so-and-so. We're going to take Patrick Mahomes. I hate the pick. I despise jumping up that high for such a big project. I've said it over and over. I love Patrick Mahomes in the second or third round, potentially, or even if you have to take him. At their original spot, which was 26,
yeah,
something like that.
27,
I mean, whatever it may be, late 20s, you know, because you really believe in him that much, then so be it. But jumping up that much to number 10, losing a first-round pick for next year to get such a big project, who I've said over and over, best-case scenario, turns into Jay Cutler. I do not like it at all.
My favorite thing is that they keep saying that he may be the next heir apparent to Alex Smith. Yeah, I get it, but they keep saying that he's going to come in, Alex Smith is going to teach him the ropes, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. I'm sorry, but if I'm Alex Smith, hey, kid, what's up? Go learn your own shit.
Well, like, what's Alex Smith going to teach him? Hey, you play this way, I play a totally different way.
Yeah.
And my favorite part when they, what is Andy Reid? He goes, no, we really like Alex Smith. He's just getting old. That was their quote.
The thing is, when I sit here and think about this pick with Patrick Mahomes, yeah, I hate the fact that they had to trade all the way up and give that first round pick up. I do, but I start thinking about the ideas of what that offense can be, where you have a Tyreek Hill, you have a trap, you have a Kelsey, you have a Ware right now, but possibly a running back with next year's draft class coming in, because next year's running back draft class is pretty deep as well. So I'm actually pretty excited to see what that offense is going to be like in a year or two.
Andy Reid, he's been one of the best developers of quarterbacks in the NFL. He's drafted tons in his past while he's been a head coach for Philly and Green Bay. They used to draft quarterbacks all the time as well. It's kind of in his draft philosophy. And they fell in love with Patrick Mahomes. I think they moved up way too high, but if they really thought the Saints were going to take him, it is what it is. And if they really think he's the quarterback of the future and this dude pans out, then it was worth it. But big time risk.
Yeah, and I think the main thing here, one of the only reports that I heard all weekend that I believe to be true, was Andy Reid, who is the quote-unquote quarterback whisperer, said this was the only quarterback that he wanted in this draft. Yep. So if that's what he wants, it's what he wants.
Next pick number 11, we have the New Orleans Saints that go with corner Marshon Lattimore, and he slides and slides and slides.
Total value pick right here. Cornerback was a huge need for the New Orleans Saints, and they had the best one slide to them at number 11. He's had a few injury concerns. His hamstrings have been messed up all through college, messed him up at his pro day. But his tape for the 2016 season was unreal. He's can be a true lockdown corner, and that gives them two pretty solid corners for that New Orleans defense right now.
New Orleans has to be shocked.
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought he would have fallen out of the top 10?
I think we all had him top five or top six.
If you would have, I wonder what the betting line would have been that Patrick Mahomes, John Ross, and Christian McCaffrey all went in front of Marshon Lattimore.
Yeah,
you could have made a ton of money. I would have bet anybody that. Good job. Good for the Saints. Building that defense, they get a staple to a defense. Good for them.
Yeah, I love the pick. They needed to go corner or defense in general, and getting Lattimore there, I just love the pick. If Lattimore was gone like one or two picks before, you could have seen Hooker go here as well.
Yep.
So, next pick number 12, we have the Houston Texans trading up and getting Deshaun Watson, quarterback from Clemson.
I was kind of shocked the Browns traded down here. I thought they liked Watson. I thought that was going to be the pick there. But obviously the Texans liked him more. They gave up a decent amount of another first-round pick next year. So the Browns own their first and second-round picks next year. But if Watson's a guy, they definitely need a quarterback. They are a quarterback away from being a legit contender in the AFC. I don't know if he's going to be ready to play. I don't think any of the three quarterbacks taking the first round are going to be ready to start day one in the NFL or be very productive in the season. So it kind of shocks me that they did this move.
Well, I sent to you guys, it was something along the lines of the Texans hated Brock Osweiler so much that they traded a first-round pick, two second-round picks, and something else just to draft Deshaun Watson and get rid of Brock Osweiler. You know, I'm not fond of the pick. Again, this was one of those things in my head. I was like, wow, Cleveland's playing it super, super smart. They apparently thought very, very similar to me. Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Kizer aren't too far off in terms of talent, physical attributes-wise. They are very, very similar with potentially the edge going to Kizer. So, you know, I thought big-time bravo to the Browns. And listen, the Texans, again, a team that went out there, they thought that this was their guy. They went out there and did it. So you saw the Texans, the Chiefs, and the Bears go out there and do what everyone has said is wrong. See what happens.
Yeah, actually, after this draft was over, I actually went back and looked at Deshaun Watson tape versus Deshaun Kizer tape. And like you said, Deshaun Kizer has a bigger, stronger arm. There was multiple times when I was watching that Alabama game where it was late in the first half where you saw Deshaun Watson underthrow his wide receivers. But the thing is, I think he has just that demeanor, that leadership quality that O'Brien there?
Mm-hmm.
O'Brien and the Texans want, and that's what they wanted, and that's what they're going to get.
Well, and listen, and even if it's a year from now, even if it's the end of this year, he's got a team around him.
Yep.
If I'm the Texans, if he comes out there and shows anything in training camp, I am strongly considering, because listen, your window is closing there as well.
Yep.
You have a great defense, but Lamar Miller is pushing 30, right? Late 20s now, 27 maybe?
J.J. Watt's been getting injured. J.J. Watt
has been injured every single year. DeAndre Hopkins is 26 or 27 now. He's getting older. You know, tight ends, he has his boy Will Fuller. Tom loves him. But let him go out there. You can't tell me that it's going to be any worse than Tom Savage.
Next pick number 13, the Arizona Cardinals select Haason Reddick. I love the pick, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
I absolutely love the pick as well. Obviously, with how the quarterbacks were drafted, it might have been a different story if either Watson or Mahomes went there. But they added a very skilled linebacker. He's a guy who can rush the passer. He can play off-ball linebacker. They're adding tons of speed to that defense, and they lost Kevin Minter in free agency. Hassan Reddick's going to come in and be a starter day one.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are looking at the Arizona Cardinals drafting the 2017 Rookie of the Year. I truly believe that in that system, on that defense, Hassan Reddick is going to cause amazing trouble against every team, especially in the NFC West. He gets to play the 49ers twice. He gets to play the St. Louis Rams twice. He gets to play
L.A. Rams.
The L.A. Rams. Who else is in the West? What team am I missing?
Hawks. Seahawks.
The Seattle Seahawks, who have had offensive line troubles that they did not address.
He could be a freaking nightmare on that defense.
He is. He is going to be able – he's going to have free reign. He's going to have free reign. I am very excited for it. We all fell in love with this guy through his tape. His story is amazing, from being a walk-on, from being told that he can't play, then to being a walk-on, making all the way up, getting drafted this high, going to a team like the Arizona Cardinals. I am – put it in your books right now. Hassan Reddick will be the 2017 NFL Rookie of the Year.
All right. Next up, we have pick number 14, and it is the Philadelphia Eagles. And they shocked me, did not go running back Dalvin Cook. Derek Barnett, D-end. What do you guys think?
I don't hate the pick at all. I really thought they were going to take Gerrion Conley or some other cornerback as probably their biggest need in my eyes. And then we had that alleged Gerrion Conley rape allegation, all that crap. So they had to go a different route. But Derek Barnett fits their system. He's going to be able to line up on that D-line for him, rush from the outside, and it's a good spot for him.
I did not like the pick. You guys were both shocked with me that I was so upset for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Again, obviously, I'm the one who was biggest on Derek Barnett out of all three of us after watching tape. I'm the one who broke him down. And I just thought that this wasn't a good fit for the Eagles. I thought the Eagles could have gone Malik Hooker. The Eagles could have gone Jonathan Allen and would have been much better off. I like Derek Barnett. I do not like him on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Next up, we have pick number 15.
Woo!
Indianapolis Colts, and Malik Hooker slides all the way down.
So I'm going to stop Tom before he gets into it here with his love fest. While this was happening, I was really hoping that the Colts were going with Kaiser, Josh. I really was hoping the Colts would step it up, go with DeShone Kizer, and just ruin Tom's night.
That would have been something.
It would have been great. But instead, Tom got the happy ending that I did not. Tom, go ahead.
This is the best first-round pick that the Colts have had since they selected Andrew Luck, number one overall. He was number five on my big board ahead of Jamal Adams. He was my number one safety just because of his ball skills. What this guy can do when he plays over the top. He plays that center field. He's got that Ed Reed in him. I was absolutely floored when they made this pick. That's who I wanted, and absolutely shocked that he lasted to 15.
So I told Tom when this pick was made, I love Malik Hooker. He was my second safety behind Jamal Adams. I told Tom my only concern with Malik Hooker, obviously he's a ball hawk, tons of interceptions. My only concern was he played with fantastic corners in front of him his whole career at Ohio State. Tom blew me off, laughed at me. Now with that being said, the Colts drafted Quincy Wilson to help their corner problem in the second round. So I love what the Colts are doing. I love the Malik Hooker pick. Absolutely fantastic. The Colts could not have been, again, another team that could not have run up to the podium fast enough to get their pick in.
Next pick, pick number 16, the Baltimore Ravens go corner. Marlon Humphrey. And I feel like it may have been a little bit of a reach. Going with Marlon Humphrey, a lot of people had him late first, early second. But you know what? They're going with a guy that pretty much fits Ravens football, and they want to be a smash-mouth team.
So the Ravens fit the bill for exactly what I talked about a lot of, bringing them in for your type of team, for your attitude, for your mindset. Marlon Humphrey's that type of guy, and the Ravens continued that on throughout their draft process and brought in a lot of guys. Listen, questionable maybe personality. Questionable of, you know, a lot of flags. They're going to push the Bengals for the most flags now in football. I'll guarantee that. But Marlon Humphrey brings a swagger, brings an attitude that cannot be doubted. He's going to scare wide receivers in the AFC East.
Yeah, we had Baltimore, I think all three of us did in our final mock draft, taking an Alabama player. We all thought it was going to be Cam Robinson. They ended up with Marlon Humphrey, another Alabama guy. And like you guys said, he's just going to bring that physicality. He's going to play like a Raven, and he just screams Baltimore Raven. And he's going to be excited to play some AFC North football in December and just knock the socks off some wide receiver.
Next pick, pick number 17, the Washington Redskins. They go with Jonathan Allen, D-end, out of Alabama.
This was my best pick of the draft. I called this my mock. I think Tim called me a moron, idiot, every name in the freaking book.
Get out of here.
Dude was top five talent in most people's eyes. He has had issues with his shoulder. A lot of teams are worried about that, obviously. Not the best athlete in the world, but this dude's one hell of a football player. The Redskins took the best available player. Absolutely great pick. He fits a need for the team as well, and they got a lot better with this pick in the first round.
Go pound sand, you jag, because I put out there for everyone to see that if they listened to your mock draft, they would have known that this was going to happen.
Thank you, Tim.
So props to you for getting that done and getting one correct, one more than I can claim. Anyways, Jonathan Allen, perfect fit. Washington has to be thrilled. You know, potentially the number two overall pick just a matter of weeks ago, all the way down to 17. Redskins have to be thrilled.
I actually just looked at the last two mock drafts that me and Tim did have. We both had Jamal Adams going to the Jets.
Good job, guys.
Boom.
What's up, y'all? And I did have Christian McCaffrey going number eight, but to the San Francisco 49ers. So, just saying.
I guess that doesn't count.
Next up, we have pick number 18, and it's, I feel like it was a need position, but going with Dory Jackson here is kind of a, it's different, I guess, in a sense.
It was a joke. I'm going to cut you off right there, champ. Okay. I don't care what a Dory Jackson, what you think he brings to your special teams. I don't care. You should not be thinking of what the player brings to your special teams at the 18th overall pick in the NFL draft. That's ridiculous. There were so many better corners just sitting on the board. There was Tre'Davious White. There was Kevin King. There was Sidney Jones. I don't care if he was hurt. There's Quincy Wilson. All those guys would have been a better choice than a Dory Jackson. I was higher on a Dory Jackson. This is what sucks. All these guys who I was much higher on than you guys are the ones who are overdrafted, and now I have to talk shit about them. Dory Jackson's great. He's not the 18th overall pick. There's no way. The Tennessee Titans, again, this is going to be the year that someone gets fired for because they did not draft the correct way.
Tim, imagine this. The Titans could have drafted Marshawn Lattimore at 5 and then gotten O.J. Howard at 18. Do you think that would have been a better than Corey Davis and Adoree Jackson?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do as well.
Absolutely.
I was absolutely floored when they announced that they picked Adoree Jackson. I'm not a big fan of his coverage skills. He's a hell of an athlete. He's undersized, though, and there's tons of corners in this class who are over 6 foot tall who are on the same level as him athletically, and they drafted this guy, and I think it was a joke, and they could have done a lot better for themselves.
And I do not take credit for a lot because I give you guys the credit all the time because you outsmart me constantly, specifically with the NFL draft. But like I told everyone from the start, outside of Marshawn Lattimore, it was a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Who would be taken second, third, fourth, and fifth? And that is exactly what happened.
Next pick, we have pick number 19. It is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And they select one O.J. Howard.
This is another one. Yep. I was like, all right, Tom's team made a good pick. That sucks because my night's already ruined. Hopefully, Josh's team can totally screw this up as well. Who are they going to take? I know, and Josh was getting nervous. He was drunk Josh, everyone. If you're wondering, he was drunk Josh. He was nervous. He's not going to portray it now. He was nervous. And then when the pick was made, all he did was put his hand straight up like someone just kicked a field goal and said, yes, yes.
Yeah, to be honest, I really thought that they could have gone Dalvin Cook here. Or I really thought that they were going to go with an offensive lineman. I don't know why. I thought for some reason they wanted to go O-line. with Doug Martin still being on his suspension for 3 games in the 2017 season. They could have went O-line here. They could have went running back. They could have went a bunch of different ways defense. But going with O.J. Howard, even though you have Cameron Brate, Cameron Brate is very good. He caught the ball. But the thing is, look at Jameis Winston when he was at Florida State. When was he at his best? When you gave him so many different weapons and so many different options. Is it going to mean that the value for Mike Evans is going to go down a little bit? Possibly. Does it mean that O.J. Howard going to Tampa Bay rather than wherever else? Let's just say the Colts. Is that his value go down a little bit? Possibly. But you give Jameis Winston options and weapons, and the better he becomes.
This was probably the best value in the first round. If someone told me O.J. Howard's going to slide down the boards to 19 to the Bucks, I would have told them they were on crack because there was no way. I thought he was a lock for the top 10. He was in my top 6 or 7 overall prospects in this draft class. Great football player. The Buccaneers got better. He's going to help that rushing attack, the passing game. And everyone saw how happy Jameis Winston was with this pick, and all his fantasy owners should be as well.
You're telling me that they have DeSean Jackson running down the sidelines. They have Mike Evans running his route, and then they have O.J. Howard just sitting in there in the middle just saying, hey, guys, look at me. Are you kidding me? This is going to be a crazy year for the NFC South with all the additions that the Saints have made, with the Falcons returning from their NFC championship, and it's just going to be nuts.
Not even to mention that their later round pick that they had with Chris Godwin.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Perfect fit for that team.
It's going to be nuts.
Next pick, pick number 20, Garrett Bowles, tackle, Denver Broncos.
I'm glad that Garrett Bowles used one of his 3 words that he knows how to speak to express the joy. Come on, I'm giving him a hard time, but you can't tell me that he didn't sound like Lurch from Adam's Family. I'm happy for him. He had his kid up there, you know, very cute. Listen, happy for him. Kind of surprised that that's where the Broncos went with that being the first tackle overall, but hey, it is what it is.
This was one of the weakest O-line classes we've seen, and with the first tackle going off the board at 20, Denver had to be thrilled. They needed a new left tackle, and Garrett Bowles is going to be that answer. He is 25 years old, but if you tell John Elway you're going to get this guy for 8 to 10 years, he's going to be happy and thrilled. He's got all the athleticism you need. He's going to help that run game out a lot, and he's going to protect the quarterback there.
Next pick, pick number 21, and it is Jarrad Davis going to the Detroit Lions, inside linebacker.
I absolutely love it, and it made me even happier that Reuben Foster wasn't the first linebacker off the board. He wasn't the second linebacker off the board. Yeah, I believe he was the third.
He's had a lot of issues. So.
Jarrad Davis, one hell of a football player. That's going to help the Lions out a lot. Pre-draft, they said they're comfortable with their O-line, D-line. They invested heavily in them last year. They needed to upgrade the linebacking core, and they did that. This dude's going to be a leader. He's had issues with injuries, but this guy could play football, and he absolutely loves football.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they didn't go with a corner to throw opposite of Darius Slay, as we talked about. They did that in the second round with Wontaze Tabor, so they figured it out there. But, all three of us moved Jarrad Davis up higher and higher and higher throughout our mock draft. So we were all high on him, and unfortunately for my Chicago Bears, that's a great pick by the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I love the pick. He's going to be a monster. Like you said, he loves football. If he's on the field all the time, which he should be, he's going to be a monster to stop. So, next pick, pick number 22, Miami Dolphins go with D-end Charles Harris.
I was kind of shocked. I really thought they were going to go Reuben Foster here. They need linebacker help as well, but obviously they weren't comfortable with all his off-the-field issues and the piss test coming back diluted. Charles Harris, he can get after the quarterback. He's kind of one-dimensional. His best attribute is getting after the quarterback, but that is very valuable in the NFL. And you line him up across from Cameron Wake, they're going to be able to do that in Miami. They're building one heck of a football team, and he's going to help terrorize Tom Brady next year. That's what they need to do.
I love this pick as well. This is the guy who I think will finish second for Rookie of the Year is one Charles Harris.
Yeah, Charles Harris is probably the player I was highest on out of us three. I think the guy was phenomenal. I thought a better fit would have been for the Dallas Cowboys. But going here, I mean, he's going to probably be asked to play a little bit outside linebacker from time to time to go along with playing DN. So we'll see what happens. I like it. Not entirely excited about the fit, but I love the player.
He will push 10 sacks this year.
I just wanted to say that I got Jared Davis correct going to the Lions in my mock draft. So,
good job, dude.
Nice. Good. Thank you. I'm proud of you.
Next up, pick number 23. The New York Giants do not go with an offensive lineman, and they go with a tight end who I said that may slide into the first round, Evan Engram, tight end.
I absolutely hate this pick. I don't hate the player, but I really think the Giants were a left tackle away from possibly contending for a Super Bowl. They have added tons of weapons. They've gotten Brandon Marshall to pair up with Sterling Shepard, Odell Beckham Jr. But I don't think they're going to be able to protect Eli Manning. They didn't address the offensive line until, I believe, the sixth round, which is unacceptable. Evan Engram is a hell of a football player. He shouldn't be listed as a tight end. He is a wide receiver, pretty much the same size as Brandon Marshall. That offense is going to be explosive, but this is just adding another mouth to feed. And I think there's going to be some drama come football season.
They added another guy who cannot block for Eli Manning at a position that they probably are going to need it. I love Evan Engram. I feel like he's going to bring a lot to this team. But like you said, I mean, you already have crazy OBJ. You have crazy Brandon Marshall. You have Sterling Shepard, who must just be scared for his life. And now throw in a tight end that can't block. Eli Manning, he's probably going to retire before the season. He has no one to protect him at all.
I love Evan Engram, and I just think it's going to be another weapon that Eli can throw the ball to. I think we're going to see a lot of shotgun formation. Paul Perkins can also catch the ball out of the backfield. I don't think they're going to sign LeGarrette Blount because they drafted Wayne Gallman in the fourth. I think that offense is just going to be tailor-made for him to throw the ball. Not a lot of running. I just think it's going to be throw, 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 and they had to get him another weapon.
Well, we just talked about two of these teams in the last three picks that we went through. They're saying Blount's either going to be a Lion or a Giant. Where do you put him?
I think the smarter move for him to get playing time is going to be the Lions. Lions want to run the ball. They don't really have a lot of great wide receivers. They got Golden Tate. They got Marvin Jones, and that's really about it. Go there. Even though they said Amir Abdullah is the starter, I'm sorry, I would still put LeGarrette Blount above him. Paul Perkins in the Giants system, I'd probably give Paul Perkins the edge. We're not going to see a lot of I formation. We're not going to see a lot of single back. We're going to see a lot of shotgun.
Fantasy purposes, LeGarrette Blount would be more successful with the Detroit Lions.
Next up, pick number 24, the Oakland Raiders take a gamble on Gerrion Conley, corner.
I absolutely love the pick for him. They need cornerback help. They were not worried about Conley, obviously. The Ravens put Gerrion Conley through a lie detector test the day before the draft. He passed it with flying colors. He said he was willing to give DNA, go talk to the cops. So this man is not acting guilty right now. There is some risk. But Conley, in my eyes, was the second overall cornerback in this draft class and would have went to the Philadelphia Eagles if this whole case didn't get started. But it's going to help the Raiders defense out a lot. I would have liked to see Reuben Foster go there as well. That's who I thought was going to, but Conley fits their system and it's going to help them out.
Yeah, I mean, he passed the lie detector test, but now he's come out, there's a whole big thing with his lawyers, saying that, he didn't do anything, that it's all lies. Now he's saying, what was the word that was used? He had a sexual encounter. Or he had a sexual event. That's what the wording was. It was a sexual event.
It was a foursome
with the girl. And then the lawyer was texting him. Well, no, it wasn't sexual intercourse. Did he get a blowjob? Did he put his fingers in her? What happened? I mean, just speaking so vaguely and saying, I'll take a lie detector test. I didn't do anything. She's a liar. And now you pass the lie detector, but now you come out and, we had a sexual event. What the hell is a sexual event? It screams awkward to me. I feel like the Raiders, who are, again, a team on the cusp of something great, could have gone another route and been okay.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm okay with it. It's Gerrion Conley. They were talking about him being a top 15 pick, and if it turns out that everything is fine, then whatever. I'm okay with the pick. Obviously, there's risk to go along with it. Next pick, Pick number 25, the Cleveland Browns, when they traded down with the Houston Texans. They take Jabril Peppers, safety. And me personally, I think this may be worth the gamble for them. That's just me thinking.
I am not a big fan of it. Look, they have him listed as safety. Last year, all the tape we have him playing is at linebacker. He's not going to be able to play that at the next level. They're going to be expecting this dude to cover. Hopefully he can. I haven't seen much of it on tape. Kind of looked lost in zone coverage last year playing with Michigan. They asked him to do a lot of weird things, something that probably wasn't his best attributes to help the team, but obviously they thought it was. Just not a big fan of the player and don't think he was worth taking at pick 25 for the Browns.
No, I don't like that at all either. I feel like he could have, you know, they end up, you know, before that happened, they still had pick 2-1, I believe, before they made that pick. So that's, I feel like he very well would have been there at 2-1. You know, I don't feel like any other team was going to risk that, and I don't know where they're going to put him. I'm hearing a lot of linebacker. He's going to play some running back as well. You know, I don't know. I'll be perfectly honest. I'm not a huge Jabril Peppers guy, so I don't want to just talk badly about him. But no, I don't. I feel like the Browns, after such a great first pick and then trading back and getting the things that they did themselves an injustice with that pick.
Next pick number 26, and it is going to be the Atlanta Falcons, who traded up with the Seattle Seahawks. And they take Tack McKinley.
This is for Grandma! And that's what he said with a lot of other words. I love the pick for them. I'm way higher on Tack than you guys are. I loved the interaction between Tack and Deion Sanders. Deion was pissed. He tried to get him to calm down. He dropped an F word, told him to find me later. Tack went crazy, guys. And the whole thing of him dropping an F word while holding a picture of his grandmother, I just could not help but laugh. And then I text you guys today a picture of him holding his French bulldog named Codeine. Yep. Not good. Not good at all.
Tack McKinley, he's a heck of a football player. Get after the quarterback. And the Falcons thought that was their biggest need after that Super Bowl debacle. I would have bet money that they were going Forrest Lampier. They need help in the interior part of their offensive line. Tack McKinley fits the Falcons system. You're going to put him with Vic Beasley. They're going to be able to get after that quarterback, and it's a good fit.
When I made my mock draft, I specifically had Tack McKinley going to the Atlanta Falcons, and I said, when I think of Tack McKinley, I think of the Falcons. When I think of the Falcons, I think Tack McKinley. The fit just makes all the sense in the world, and he's going to be great there. Imagine him matched up with Vic Beasley.
Oh,
it's going to be a nightmare for offensive linemen. That's all I got to say. Pick number 27. We have the Buffalo Bills with the trade with the Kansas City Chiefs earlier, and they go corner, Tre'Davious White.
I love what the Bills did here.
So did I.
They traded back, and they got one of the best cornerbacks in this deep class, Tre'Davious White. I could see him going in the top 15. I think Tim had him going 14 to the Eagles, and that made complete sense. Didn't think it was a reach at all. He's going to fit that system that McDermott's running there in Buffalo, bringing over from Carolina. Can play zone. If you need him to play man, he can. This dude is a skilled tactician out on the football field. I think he's a three-year starter, but played 4 years there at LSU. A skilled player, and it's going to help them out a lot and help replace Stephon Gilmore.
Love the pick by the Bills. They, you know, they drop back, they get extra picks, and they get the second best corner thus far taken. In my eyes, I had him as my second or third best corner in the draft. So props to the Bills for making a good play.
Pick number 28. The Dallas Cowboys go with Taco Charlton, D end, out of Michigan. The guy that has started 1 year in his college career. Again, I'm not very high
on
Taco
hater.
So
you hate Taco.
Let me say this: the Cowboys needed a D end, and going with Taco, it fits a need, and I'm fine with the pick. Charles Harris was off the board. I'm okay with it, even though I hate him.
I love the pick. A lot of people were mocking cornerbacks to him. I don't remember what I did in my final, but it was going to be edge rusher, cornerback. Taco fits a big need for them. Marinelli is awesome at getting the most out of his D linemen and putting the defense in the best spot possible. And I think Taco's going to be a wonderful addition to that defense. And the Cowboys did a wonderful job addressing all the needs and getting quality football players all across that defense in this draft.
Yeah, he's going to bring something to the Cowboys that they haven't had, and that's a solidified pass rusher on that defensive line.
Who isn't addicted to drugs going into rehab. Right.
Someone who's going to play 16 games and a solidified pass rusher.
Pick number 29, we have the Cleveland Browns trading up with the Green Bay Packers, which in my opinion was a shocker for the Green Bay Packers to do. Everything that I've heard the whole time was T.J. Watt was going to be a Packer. And then our good friend Mike, I'm pretty sure he shed a tear.
Yeah.
Because he wanted T.J. Watt to go there.
And he played all coy. Oh, no, I like it. It's good. We're going to get Joe Mixon. Man, I'm Mike.
But regardless, the Browns move up and take tight end David Njoku.
I like the pick. I really thought when they traded up, they were going to get a quarterback just to get that fifth-year option, which is extremely valuable for any rookie quarterback. But Njoku, awesome tight end. He's more of a receiver than blocker. Not a finished product yet, but this dude can catch the football. And what we've seen from the University of Miami, their receiver or their tight ends are pretty good in the pros. They've had the most tight ends drafted in the first round in the last 17 years. And Njoku's got all the skills in the world to be a legit option for them. And they must have all the faith in the world in him. They cut Gary Barnage, I believe, the next day.
Yeah, just think of what the barn dog had done in Cleveland the last 2 years. Now you're telling me a real man and David Njoku's going to come in there and play? He's going to light it up, especially who knows if Brock Osweiler is going to be their quarterback or not. But a quick decision maker, not always the best decision. What do they rely on? A tight end. Njoku is going to be a safety net for either their current or future quarterback. I love it.
Next pick, pick number 30. It's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they take T.J. Watt.
So in my first mock draft, this is where I had T.J. Watt going, and I ended up switching it to the Green Bay Packers because just like you guys, I had heard from everywhere that how much the Packers love T.J. Watt, so I flipped it. Obviously, I love this pick for them. You throw him in there with that defense that they have right now. He's able to move around. He's quick. He's aggressive. I feel like he fits like a glove. Love the pick.
Yeah, he's going to be able to help that linebacking core out a lot. He's going to be able to rush the passer. He's going to be able to move inside if you need him to, kind of like what Clay Matthews does for the Packers. This kid's a hell of a football player, and he hasn't even come close to touching his ceiling in my eyes. He's got a great bloodline. Look what J.J. Watt has done, and T.J.'s got that work ethic. It's only his second year playing defense in college, and he was one of the most effective pass rushers in the country, and he tested out of the roof at the combine.
Did you see J.J. telling Antonio Brown to make sure he's his brother?
I was just going to say the same thing. How awesome does it have to be J.J. Watt's brother, but how terrible
it has to be awful. Well. It has to be terrible.
I think the Steelers and Texans play on Christmas.
Yeah, they do.
That's pretty awesome. Pick number 31, we have the San Francisco 49ers that trade back up into the first round. And they trade with Seattle, which traded with Atlanta. And they take troubled linebacker Reuben Foster, who Tim guaranteed to be a top 10 pick
prior to
that was a Tim T guarantee
prior to his
let me
issues.
Finish my rant.
Let the man talk.
That failed. That's all I had.
Prior to his drug test, that was a guarantee, and I still hold the fact that that would have happened. Instead, John Lynch looks like the smartest man in the world. Again, gets one of his top three guys in the draft and comes out of it with someone to solidify his front four and someone to solidify his linebacking crew. I love what the 49ers did here in the first round. I love John Lynch. I might be a 49ers fan now.
This was one hell of a first round for a first-year GM in John Lynch, getting players 2 and 3 on his board, like Tim just said. Reuben Foster, he's going to be that Patrick Willis-type linebacker, hopefully a leader at the next level. I'm a little worried about him at the next level. He's had issues with his shoulders. He kind of tackles like a moron and launches himself like a missile out there. I think he's going to have trouble staying healthy. This kid is a hell of a football player and helped lead Alabama to back-to-back national championship games.
Who had the better first round with multiple picks? Would you give it to the Browns or the 49ers?
I'd say Niners.
I'd say 49ers for sure.
Okay, I was just curious.
The best overall first round was the Colts.
All right, next pick. We have the last no pick comments? Of the draft. We have the Saints that had their trade with the Patriots with the Brandon Cooks trade. They go with tackle, Ryan Ramczyk, and in my opinion, I thought it was a lot later than we thought, or than I thought that we would see him go.
What's awesome about this pick is the Saints had Reuben Foster on the phone,
yeah.
And then he hung up with the Saints to take the call from John Lynch. But getting Ryan Ramczyk at 32, it's a hell of a deal. We thought he was probably going to be the first O-lineman off the board. We thought he was the best overall left tackle prospect in this class. Got some injuries, though, so that scared a few teams away. But the Saints are getting another good, solid offensive lineman, and it's going to help them in the trenches overall.
One of two offensive players that they took in the draft out of the total seven that they had taken, and I love it. You know, try to help secure that line and give Drew Brees some time over these last couple of years, and whoever the, you know, next quarterback piece will be for them, you know, maybe they have someone to, you know, solidify and anchor someone to be a for sure thing for them.
My thing is, I don't think he's going to come in and be their starting left tackle right away. I think he's going to go to the right side.
Yeah.
Because who do they have? Armstead, right?
Yeah.
Armstead will be that guy for the next couple years, and then I think eventually we'll see him slide over to the left side. But you got to imagine how happy Drew Brees has to be to have somebody else on that offensive line to be blocking for them. So
that's going to help them out tremendously, and they've invested a ton in the running back spot, so they might be trying to run the football. They keep saying that. But he's going to help their offense out a lot. He's a hell of a football player.
Anything else you guys want to talk about on this round one of the draft?
Overall, this is one of the most exciting first rounds I can remember watching. Extremely entertaining. We had a big party over at the Pony Keg Studios, but it was just a great time. Great reality television, and that's about all I got.
I don't know if I've gone from such a high to such a low so quickly in a very, very, very long time. So it was a great draft. I think finally by the time Patrick Mahomes came around or Marshawn Lattimore, I was finally back to normal. But that one hurt. That one did not feel good for me as a fan.
Take your own favorite team out of it. So the Colts, I guess I don't really have to ask you, and the Bucks. We'll take those teams out. What is your favorite landing spot for these rookies? Which one is your favorite?
Can I use the Bucks? They're not my favorite.
If you want to, yeah.
OJ Howard. I think that was one of the best picks overall in the first round. Great value there at number 19. It's going to help that offense out, running the football, passing the football, and I just love him as a prospect and overall player.
Kiss ass. Josh, can I use the Colts?
If you want to.
I'm not going to. I'm going to use Hassan Reddick and the Arizona Cardinals. Like I said, my 2017 Rookie of the Year. I love, love, love the pick for the Cardinals.
I actually like Derek Barnett going to the Eagles. I just thought it was a great fit. I didn't think he was going to be available there. I thought he'd be gone at the Saints with pick 11. But going there at 14 to the Eagles, I like that. So that's just me. Anything else?
That's what, who's your guys' worst pick of the first round?
Ooh. You got yours, Tim? Let me look.
Yeah, mine's pretty obvious. Tennessee Titans taking a Dory Jackson at 18. I feel like that's a no-brainer. There's other picks that can be questioned. People taking too high, people whatever it may be, but at that spot is probably a good 30 picks too high, in my personal opinion.
Me, I'm going to go with Corey Davis to the Titans. As much as I love Corey Davis and as much as I agree with getting him more and more weapons, Marcus Mariota-wise, for the Titans, I just feel like that he's going to be wasted on that team. They are trying to convert to a run-first team. They have two running backs that can run the ball. They can pass the ball to Murray as well. And now they're going to add Corey Davis to a already overpopulated wide receiver team, I guess, in a sense. So as much as I like Corey Davis, I think his fantasy value, his first year and second year, is going to be non-existent.
My least favorite pick of the first round would be Evan Engram to the Giants.
Boo!
I absolutely love the player, but they had every opportunity in the world to get the future left tackle for that team. And I just am not a believer in Ereck Flowers protecting Eli Manning. He struggled last year immensely, and I don't think he's got the physical attributes to be a left tackle in the NFL.
If I'm Eli Manning when I'm 48 years old and I can't walk on my own anymore and I don't remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday, this is the reason why. This is the exact reason why, because the Giants have never committed to protecting Eli Manning.
All right, well, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed. And look out for the next couple episodes that we have coming out this week. And that was the first round recap of the 2017 NFL Draft, which was very, very exciting. You guys can follow us on Twitter at PonyKeg Sports, at PonyKeg Tom, at PonyKeg Tim. You guys can check us out on our website, PonyKegSports.com. You guys can also check us out on the site, CleatGeeks.com. Message them on Twitter, at CleatGeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They also have a Facebook. Check that Facebook out and check out all their articles on their website. We would appreciate it. And, yeah, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed and look out for the next couple episodes. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.